I asked the youth some of these questions, and I'll ask you the same. Has someone ever done something to you or against you that you simply could not forgive? Or is there a wrong that if it was committed against you, you would just never be able to forgive it? Is there something specific that you can think of that, man, if this was done to me, I would never be able to forgive that sin? Or have you ever done something that you feel you could never be forgiven of? In Scripture, David is considered and is called by God a man after God's own heart. This means that David cared about what God cared about. He sought after the will of God. He was a man after God's own heart. And we see this throughout Scripture. He's referred to in the New Testament quite often. He's the king that all other kings should have been like. He's the one that wrote so many of the Psalms that we continue to read in the church. The Psalms are like the church's first prayer book, our first hymnal. David wrote most of those Psalms. David is and was a man after God's own heart. But today we see that this man also, like many of us, can fall terribly far and hard. And it starts out by David being essentially where he shouldn't be. It's the time where his country is at war with the Ammonites. And David's number one job as king is to lead his nation in battle. He is an accomplished warrior. You remember the story of David and Goliath. He is an accomplished fighter. He should be with his army out on the field. He should be with his commanders out in the field. But this time he isn't. He stays back home. And that's where the trouble begins. Lounging about on his terrace as others are out fighting battle, he sees Bathsheba, who is bathing out kind of on her rooftop, which is essentially another room of the house. And doing this, he gives in to lust. And not only gives in to lust, but he abuses his power as king and calls that Bathsheba come to him, and he sleeps with her. And I should mention, too, that the scriptures and the passages, they never talk about Bathsheba as being guilty in this. The guilt is squarely focused on David. He is the pursuer. He is the abuser in this. He commits adultery. And he knows that she is, in fact, married. And not only this, but she's married to a man who is one of David's special 30 soldiers, a guy that's pretty close to David, probably. David abuses his power, and he commits a disgusting act. And the man who is after God's own heart no longer is. He falls hard. And when he hears that David is pregnant, or that Bathsheba is pregnant, David, in his cunning nature and his contriving ways, he comes up with a way to deal with the problem. He doesn't own up to the problem. Instead, he calls Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, home from battle in the hopes that this soldier who has been gone away for a while will go home and sleep with his wife. He's hoping that Uriah will then think that this baby that is David's is actually Uriah's. And just think for a moment, what if this plan had worked? Then David was quite happy to live with the possibility that Bathsheba would have to live this lie all her life, that this child is not actually her husband's, but belongs to the king. David doesn't care. But when Uriah refuses to enjoy the privileges that his fellow soldiers can't enjoy because they're still on the battlefield, David puts forth another plan. And the plan is to have Uriah killed while he's out in battle. He tells his commander, put Uriah on the front line, and when the fighting is the worst, pull everyone else back so that Uriah dies. It doesn't quite work out that way, but the commander follows orders, and Uriah is killed on the field along with other people just so that David can have his wish. David essentially corrupts his commander into obeying these orders and killing people innocently, all to hide his sin. David commits adultery, he commits murder, he lies, and he commits full selfishness. And at the end of David's scheming, it looks like he's actually gotten away with it. Nobody else involved knows the fullness of David's sin. Bathsheba doesn't know that he had Uriah killed. Uriah doesn't know that David committed adultery, and even if he did, Uriah's dead. Job, his commander-in-chief, knows nothing about David's plot. He just follows orders. It looks like David got away with it. But God isn't fooled, and he's not going to let David get off the hook. And we hear in verse 27 God's assessment that God is angry. Literally, the passage says that what David had done was evil in God's eyes. God himself declares it to be evil. It is purely despicable. It is gross. It's distasteful. If he was a character on Days of Our Lives, he would fit right in. And he'd be that guy that you just despise, and he'd linger around for 3 weeks, and it'd be like a day. You know, it's just, it would fit in to any daytime soap. The reality is that this story, though, isn't even the worst one in all of Scripture. There's other passages in Scripture that are just as abominable as this about men doing terrible things. Men of high esteem and people, greats that we looked up to, doing awful things. Is David's sin forgivable? If you did this, would you feel like you could be forgiven? If it happened against you, would you be able to forgive? But God doesn't let David get off the hook. God sends his prophet Nathan to David, and Nathan does this very coyly. It's a pretty cool way that he exposes David's sin. Nathan tells David a story about a rich man and a poor man. The poor man had one little lamb that the poor man loved like it was his own daughter, his own child. He took care of it. It slept on his lap. It ate from his own food. This poor man loved this lamb. And then the rich man had all sorts of lambs and cattle. And when the rich man has a guest, the rich man refuses to kill one of his own animals to provide food for his guest. Instead, he steals the lamb of the poor man. When David hears this, he thinks it's an actual case that Nathan is bringing before him. And he says, that man should be killed. That man should have to pay four times what he has stolen from the poor man. And then Nathan gives him that great line, you are the man. You are the sinner. And David ends up condemning himself. If you were in David's place, would you feel like you could ever be forgiven? Psalm 51 is David's confession about this event. I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 51 for us. This is what David prays. It's his prayer of forgiveness and seeking the Lord because he knows now that he has done wrong. David says, you are kind, God. Please have pity on me. You are always merciful. Please wipe away my sins. Wash me clean from all my sin and guilt. I know about my sins, and I cannot forget my terrible guilt. You are really the one I've sinned against. I have disobeyed you, and I've done wrong. So it is right and fair for you to correct and punish me. I have sinned and done wrong since the day I was born, but you want complete honesty, so teach me true wisdom. Wash me with hyssop until I am clean and whiter than snow. Let me be happy and joyful. You crushed my bones. Now let them celebrate. Turn your eyes from my sin. Cover my guilt. Create pure thoughts in me and make me faithful again. Don't chase me away from you or take your Holy Spirit from me. David knows he's condemned. He knows he has sinned, and he tells Nathan this as well. I have sinned against the Lord. What would you do? What would you say if you're Nathan? Can David be forgiven? Nathan tells David a lot of things, but in the end he tells him, yes, your sin is forgiven, you shall not die. But he also tells him, quite frankly, that he's going to have to live with a lot of terrible consequences because of his sin. The child that will be born to Bathsheba will die. Nathan's own family will rebel against him. The whole kingdom of Israel is going to feel the result of this one sin. Yet, David is forgiven. It's quite scandalous when you think of it. Very scandalous. And we should almost be mad that forgiveness looks like it comes so easily, that he can be forgiven of the guilt of a sin, yet so many people will suffer continually because of the sin, although people have already suffered because of it. It's scandalous. But that, friends, is what forgiveness is. And though it might look like it comes easy, it doesn't. That forgiveness, even for David before 1,000 years before Christ was born, and that forgiveness which is given to us as well, did not come easy. It came from a death. It came from blood. It came from a cross where Jesus was nailed, where Jesus felt the full weight of every sin that ever was and ever will be upon his shoulders. That is the true scandal. David is a man after God's own heart. And a person who is after the heart of God is first and foremost a person who will recognize their sin and confess and be repentant of it. David is a different man after this. He's far more humble and sometimes even weak. He knows the weight of his guilt that he's going to live with on earth. But he also knows that the Lord has forgiven him. While you and I will have to live with earthly consequences to our sins, some greater than others, you too can know that you are forgiven. You might feel like what you have is far beyond the grace of God. I assure you, it is not. This story teaches us this. The rest of Scripture teaches us this, that there is nothing beyond the grace of God. Come to God's grace. Confess our sins. Know that He, in fact, forgives. Let us pray. O gracious and heavenly Father, you are the scandalous one. You are the one that has given your Son to die for us. that we might know you, that we might be reconciled to you and to others, that we might know your forgiveness. Give us the courage to confess. Give us your spirit to turn and come towards you. We pray this in your name. Amen.